You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. As we approach tomorrow's inauguration of Donald Trump as our 45th president, Stateside is speaking with Michigan voters who support Mr. Trump. Today, we're here with Jules Pestorino. She's 19, a student with the University of Michigan, and this was her first time voting. Stateside Cynthia Canty spoke with Jules Pestorino.
First, tell us a little about yourself. Do you consider yourself a Republican?
I do not consider myself a Republican at all. I would consider that I have a couple of standpoints that would be considered on the right of the American political spectrum, and I also have some on the left as well.
Did you ever consider supporting either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders?
Well, I didn't especially like Hillary Clinton, but I had a great deal of respect for Bernie Sanders. I thought he was a very genuine person, and Donald Trump was not the Republican nominee that I really wanted. But
who was that? Who did you like?
I was very interested in Rand Paul. I didn't agree with everything, but he was the closest in terms of my opinions with regards to, like, privacy, for example, and gun rights and that sort of thing.
All right. So he was not your first choice. At what point did you kind of have everything click in and you knew that Donald Trump was going to have your vote?
After he got the Republican nominee and Hillary got the Democratic nominee. If Bernie Sanders had gotten the Democratic nominee, I would have considered voting for him depending on what was said afterwards. But that would have still depended on, like, things that would have went from there.
What Trump policies seemed to kind of hit it for you?
Well, I mean, as many people know, Trump doesn't have super laid out policies, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. But how about things he said? We should probably go with that because
he did
say lies.
For example, he supported the Second Amendment, which was one of the biggest draws to supporting him over Hillary Clinton and pretty much almost anyone on the left side of the political spectrum. I grew up in a very rural area, and guns have been important to my family and our friends. And so that was one of the big policies.
What do gun rights mean for you?
Well, it's a lot about obviously you've probably heard everything about the Second Amendment right. I understand that there are problems in urban communities, but anytime a lot of people on the left talk about how gun rights are terrible and how they kill people, they don't take into account what it means in the countryside and what it means for people. For example, we have some property in a more poor area of the state, a very rural, underdeveloped area. And a lot of people up there rely on guns as a mean for, like, cheap meat in terms of them not necessarily being able to run to a store that's 2 hours drive away all the time. And so for them, it means a lot more of an access to, like, high-protein kind of food. And for my family, I've hunted ever since I was able to get my hunting license after I went through hunter safety. It also means a lot in terms of safety at your home. Like, if you live in an area where the police response time isn't 2 minutes, then obviously there's going to be a higher need for safety.
I'm interested because the serious efforts at gun control have never been to seize guns. They've had to do with automatic weapons and magazine sizes. Can you point to any action by the Obama administration that limited people's ability to have a weapon or to hunt?
Actually, I can. And for example, I was at a gun store a couple of months ago and we were talking to the owner and he said, and I can't, like, name the exact legislation or I can't point to, like, you know, the exact name of it. But there was apparently a law passed where they weren't able to have a certain amount of ammo and so they had to shoot it all off. And this is according to them. So I can't, like, exactly substantiate that. But that's one of the things that we lost. Additionally,
We're not sure about that because we don't. This is because there's nothing that in fact, President Obama said it was the great regret of his presidency that never once were they able to make any inroad as far as, again, just looking at the automatic weapons and the magazine sizes. And, you know, after Sandy Hook and Virginia Tech and Aurora and so on. So I'm kind of wondering what happened that you felt threatened the Second Amendment rights.
And once again, it's not even explicitly Obama doing it, but, like, you can look at the voting for it. For example, in the aftermath of the Orlando shooting, the Republicans themselves proposed a restriction on gun rights, and they proposed that if somebody was on a terrorist watch list, they couldn't buy a gun until they got a timely approval by a judge. But the thing is, the liberal side voted it down so that they could vote for a more strict one. But I feel like that one was entirely fair in terms of what it was trying to accomplish. And it would also ensure that if somebody was incorrectly on the terrorist watch list, like if that happened just by accident, they'd be able to get off and be able to have their constitutional right to a weapon.
Are there campaign promises? You kind of touched on this, but I want to get more thoughts that Mr. Trump made that you don't agree with.
I'm very much in favor of abortion. I think the economic benefits of people being able to have access to an abortion are incredibly important and are important to like more poor communities. And I really, really, really hope that Donald Trump doesn't do anything to it. But I think the more Republican like legislator in general is more of a danger to it than he is, especially because if you look back like 10, 20 years ago, Donald Trump was in favor of it. And I'm very much hoping that some of the things that he said were just pandering to the Republican base, but I'm not necessarily confident in that anymore.
Because there certainly is a feeling when he names Supreme Court justices
yeah.
that things could
for
tilt.
Sure.
So you're alarmed about that.
I am very much alarmed about several things that he said.
I'm interested in what you make of Mr. Trump's demeanor, his tweets that instantly react to perceived slights or the statements he makes critical of intelligence agencies or their motives and so forth. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a good thing, and I hope that eventually some official somewhere is going to tell him he needs to stop. But I feel like if you look at ones from years ago, I don't think those are a big deal. But I think now that he's going to be a president, I think he definitely needs to step up his decorum just a little.
Does it worry you about the temperament?
I don't think he's going to do anything major. I mean, we can look at other political leaders throughout history who also had like similarly poor temperaments. And it's all a lot of bark and no bite necessarily. And I'm really hoping that's the case. And once again, I'm also hoping once he starts to become president, he's not going to have time to tweet out ridiculous, embarrassing things.
Where do you get your news, Jules?
I use news aggregate sources. There's a website I like. It's called Reddit. And there's a couple subreddits. Those are small communities on the website. And they post news and they get upvotes based on like if the community likes them or not. And so, of course, that pushes news in a certain direction. But you get you can read news articles from CNN, Huffington Post, The Guardian, The Mirror, Fox, all sorts of news sites. So you get, like, I think a broader perspective just in terms of, especially if you're subscribed to a lot of different politically based communities. Like, for example, I'm subscribed to a couple on the left and a couple on the right. So I try to, like, get a decent picture of what's going on.
If you could sit down right now with Mr. Trump, what would you say to him, knowing he's about to become our president?
Gosh, how long do I have for that one? Well, I think I'd most want to talk about the importance of privacy and curbing the NSA as like an abusive use of the government's powers. I think that's the main thing I'd focus on, because I think that's one of the biggest threats facing our country at this time and the Western world in general. And the next thing I would talk about would be climate change and the importance of how it's not a conspiracy and how no one's exactly no one's lying about it on the left. And that's something that we need to take immediate action about. And I think the third thing I'd talk about would be the importance of the access to abortions. And I think that's probably those are the three most important things, I think.
Jules Pastorino is a student at the University of Michigan. I have one final question for you. How will you measure success for Donald Trump?
I think that would be and increasing the living standard of the middle class and poorer communities, I think, would be the easiest way to demonstrate that Donald Trump's been successful. His whole platform was running on helping people in the poor and middle classes be more successful. And I think if he does that, I would consider him a successful president. Like, we've seen wages stagnate for just decades upon decades. And if that ends and there's an increased prosperity for people who aren't on the top, I would consider that. I would consider that good enough.
Jules Pastorino, University of Michigan student, and among the several Donald Trump supporters that we're talking to this week on Stateside prior to the inauguration. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
In that interview, Cynthia Canty misspoke when she said automatic weapons, which are already outlawed. We should have said assault rifles. We regret the error.